How do you stay committed to a goal or a lifestyle? 2020 has thrown a lot at us, understatement of the year. And this forced being at home has a lot of people reevaluating their priorities. Do I want to work like I've been working? Do I want to live here if the cost of living comes with high personal costs? I know people who've made huge life changes like getting married or getting divorced. I know people who've gotten super fit in this time. I know people who've gotten really not super fit in this time. I know people who have found motivation and who have lost motivation. And one of the most challenging goals or lifestyles to maintain in 2020 has been being an Olympic athlete or an Olympic hopeful. Summer athletes had their games delayed till next summer, hopefully anyway. Winter athletes were in that gray area between Olympics when you're trying to figure out, do I still want to ski, skate, or in Kendall Westenberg's case, hurl myself down an ice track as a skeleton athlete? Her answer was yes. And what some Olympians are doing in the off season, in the off year that is 2020, actually has a lot of lessons for the rest of us about goal setting, optimism, and resilience. I'm this dying to ask how Kendall Westenberg figured out her what's next during the pandemic. She'll play coach and teach us how to harness the power of four words that guide her life on and off the track. The words are control what you can. These words can change your outlook and can lower your stress instantly if you let them. And you'll find out what it's like to quarantine at the Olympic Training Center. Here's Kendall Westenberg on Dying to Ask. I'm Deirdre Fitzpatrick, and I've been anchoring morning news for more than 20 years. I know two things. One, that phrase, I'll sleep when I'm dead, is starting to seem likely. And two, the best conversations take time. Dying to Ask is my chance to have longer, more meaningful conversations without a producer yelling rap in my ear. Personal change requires personal growth. And these days, Plan B is the new Plan A. Ready to do life bigger and better despite the Rona? This is Dying to Ask. Kendall Westenberg, I see you're joining me from five-star accommodations.
Yeah, room 139. That's all you have to know.
It's probably more than I need to know, right?
It's how you get your food delivered. It's how you get everything done around here.
So where are you?
I am in Lake Placid, New York at the Olympic Training Center.
And you're on a little bit of a timeout. You're on Olympic
timeout. I'm on a full timeout. Yeah, I'm on the most big timeout I think I've ever been on. Yeah.
So what's the deal? You guys, you're on U.S. skeleton team and trying to get back on the track, but there's a little bit of a catch like there is with most of life in 2020.
Yeah, for sure. So like you said, we're trying to get back on the track, hopefully starting to slide first week of November. But before we do that, everyone has to go through a re-entry to Lake Placid Training Center, which falls under Team USA guidelines. And then we also have to follow New York State guidelines. So New York State guidelines depend on which state you came from. You either have a 6-day or a 14-day quarantine, I believe. I'm on the 14-day. I think maybe it's 7-day or 14-day.
You're such an overachiever.
I know, I'm really going for it. I just figured, let's do the whole thing. Get the big experience here. Right. But yeah, it's pretty strict. We're in single rooms and you get 45 minutes of assigned outdoor time every day by yourself. You can't be within 30 feet of anyone. We're getting meals delivered to our door. We basically call the kitchen, they deliver it and knock, and you wait 30 seconds before you open the door. And yeah, that's how we get our food and our drinks and snacks and anything like that. So it's pretty strict, but we're just all trying to make it work and respect the rules so we can get back to sliding. Yeah.
How many days in are you?
That's a great question.
Can you even mark days? Are you like, do you have a calendar and you're like putting X's on it?
Yeah, I have a planner.
Are there like little sticks on the wall and you put a cross totally. Bar through every five?
Well, yeah. And I came in like late the first night, so I'm not technically sure what, not super late, but I came in like afternoon the first day. So I'm not sure what qualifies. Sunday, I had to remind myself that it was Sunday twice. I thought it was Saturday once and I thought it was Monday. I have like my little cheat sheet for calling in meals, oh what gosh. Time I have to call those in by. I think I'm day four, somewhere around there, four or five.
Yeah. So yeah, what are you doing? Like, what do you do to pass the time?
So that's a great question. My days are largely structured around my outdoor time at this point and meals. I wrote a list of things that I've been meaning to get around to, stupid things like cleaning out my inbox or answering emails or getting back to people that maybe I haven't.
Memorize the dictionary.
Yeah.
You got time.
Way down the list is get better at German. So if we get there, that would be great. But yeah, I'm trying to kind of cross those things off and keep a schedule. But
yeah. Is that outside time just like everything?
Yeah. Yeah. I've never been so excited to be outside, and it's upstate New York in the fall. So weather is all over the place. I went to run my sprints yesterday and it was raining pretty good, but yeah, happy to do it at this point.
It's do you have a window?
I do. I have windows and I got the good side of the dorms. I get to face the running track, so I can see other humans out there, which makes you feel a little less lonely.
You like waving, putting your hand up at the glass.
Pretty much, or like opening my window and be like, hey guys. And they'll be like, hey Kendall, and go back to their workout.
Oh my gosh. Think of how great it's gonna feel on day 15 though, when you're just kinda out, you know, some perspective.
Yeah, that's totally it.
Yeah. So what's the last, I mean, the last time I saw you was in South Korea.
Right.
And I think one of the most memorable days of covering the Olympics over 20 years, which was hanging out with your parents who are hilarious, and a bunch of your family members, tons of friends. It was one of the like warmest in terms of the people, not warmest temperature wise, because I think it was like 11 below, but one of the like greatest days I've ever had covering the Olympics, because everybody around you was just so darn happy for you and excited for your journey. And it was just a really, really great time.
Yeah, I'm so fortunate in that. I've had a lot of conversations about that this summer. I don't know if it's just, you know, COVID making us all reflect more, but I was super fortunate to be born into a really loving and warm family who's super supportive. You know, they don't care if it's adult rec league soccer or the Olympics. Like if they're around, they're gonna show up and be excited for you. So that was really cool to have them there, and then had a group of friends who came as well. But yeah, just so fortunate to have those people. But
your dad shows up Korea for me. He's always commenting on my social media now. I love it. Like, oh, it's Carl. Yeah,
he's that guy. He's so engaged. He's so on top of the social media, even more than I am. I'm like, I don't know what post you're talking about.
He's all over it. So it's been 2 years, you know, almost 2 years since I saw you. How did you make the decision to keep going forward with skeleton? Because I mean, a lot of people, like one time of trying skeleton, they'd be out of it for good. But how did you make the decision to go ahead and go for another round and another Olympic quadrennium of this crazy sport?
Yeah, it was a process for sure. I think one of my teammates gave me really good advice. He was like, even if you know you're retiring, don't say it. Like, give yourself time, walk away, process it. You can always announce it whenever you need to, but don't announce it prematurely, which was great advice, because I think at the end of the games, I was really disappointed in my performance. And I felt like this whole 4 year or 6 year at that point build up to this one moment, and it didn't go that well, and it was kind of devastating. But then stuck around, became friends with the losers, went to a bunch of other Team USA events and watched other teammates, and you know, kind of made the best of the rest of that time there. And I think at some point in there I was talking to Nick Cunningham, who I think you know,
one of my favorites.
And yeah, Nick and Summer and I were on a bus, I believe to the Team USA house, and it kind of just hit me. I was like, maybe I will go again. Maybe I am going to give this a little bit more. And that was the first moment since I had competed where I was like, all right, maybe there's something there. Took the summer off and just did everything. Team USA summit, DC trip, you know, you kind of were running around. I had a bunch of friends' weddings, and I took advantage of everything that summer.
Yeah.
And decided I was going to give it one more season. I was like, I'm going to give it this season. I'm going to see if I can do the things that I haven't done in this sport, or if I think I have the potential to do that, and we'll go from there. And so went back for that one season and broke the medal drought that I had set by medaling, I think, 3 years prior, and just saw a lot of promise in my sliding ability and in where I was headed, and thought, you know, 3 more years, see what I can do. I just, I want to know how good I could be in this sport. And so
Podiums have kind of a funny effect on people, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, literally, it's like two steps up, but it changes everything.
That's exactly it. Yeah. It's, yeah. And I think for me, it was like I'd gone to the Olympics. I had won a lower tour. I had done a lot of the things I set out to do in the sport, but unless I felt like I could do that next level of medaling and podiuming consistently, you know, that was what I was still chasing. So that's kind of why I'm back around.
For people who can't remember, is that the head first sport or the feet first sport? Walk them through a little bit of what luge is, and then we should really remind people of how you got into this crazy sport in the first place, because that's a great backstory too.
Yeah, that is. So skeleton is single person face first on the ice. You're kind of on your stomach like a penguin. Same track as bobsled and luge, but we're solo. You run at the start, jump on your sled, and kind of navigate down the track with your shoulders and knees. I got into it because I saw it on TV during the 2010 games and thought it looked cool, thought I might be good at it. Soccer was kind of coming to an end, and I mentioned out loud that I thought I might be good at it when my siblings were sitting in the room, and they said, "Oh yeah, I don't think you'll do that." And so I was like, "All right, well, I'm going to see if I can give this a shot." So ended up Googling it and getting connected with the US team and went from there.
And for people who maybe don't know how a lot of people end up in these sports, it's not like you like, well, I guess some people might, if you grew up in Park City, you might do this as an after school sport. But for the most part, you know, kids growing up in Modesto, California, aren't doing that on the regular. And they run these kind of combine camps where people go who are really proficient in other sports, and you show up and they put you through a bunch of tests, kind of like a football combine, to figure out what are you wired for. And really, that's the key of being a great Olympian, is finding out what were you wired for. And what do you have natural talent for? And then training that talent, and hopefully the mind as well. And you found out that you could be really good at hurling yourself down a block of ice.
Yeah.
Basically.
I think my number one skill is like,
which is troubling
calm.
When you think about it on many levels.
Totally. I'm just really calm when things are going wrong. And I think that makes you good at skeleton. So it works out.
I think you're also really good at going fast. I remember trying to follow you as we were driving somewhere for a shoot. I'm like, wow, she's gone.
I know. And that was probably me trying to be under control because other people
It was like
there.
10 o'clock on a weekday and we were going to your high school.
I don't have a slow gear in me, I don't think.
So with the experience that you've had with the Olympics, I've found it really interesting to follow Olympians on social over the last 7 months, because Olympic mentality and resiliency is really something different. And it has to be, given the fact that you're doing something day in, day out, and in your case, something that to most of us would seem so crazy, for lack of a better term. How did you handle the last 7 months, and how did the Olympic experience help you get through?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're referencing there is Olympic experience. You're spending all of this time and energy and effort to fight for a chance at this one competition, and you need a lot of things to go right and to be at the top of your game at the right time. And you don't have a lot of control of a lot of the variables and the things that are happening around you. And I think that was probably the most applicable to this off season for me. I think winter athletes had it a little easier than summer athletes did, for sure. Some of my, you know, I really felt for some of my summer games friends. I can't imagine that the buildup, like I was just talking about, is 4 years long, and you're so invested and so fine-tuned, and everything is peaking to this one moment, and to have it all kind of come crashing down with so much uncertainty and in such random fashion was probably super hard for us. The season ended really abruptly. We didn't have our national championships, but we got to complete a lot of the season, and we had 2 years at that point until the Olympics. So I think perspective is always super important. And then in the scheme of things, you know, finding a gym is hard, and I'm having to make adjustments, and you don't have access to a training center or sports med, but in the scheme of what was going on, you know, I was in such a better spot than a lot of people. And for me, it was, sorry, I don't know if you heard that knock. That's my lunch.
You got to wait 30 seconds.
No. Okay. Yeah, it's all good. I'll get it later. Okay. No one's going to take it. No one can come in our hallway. Sorry for the interruption. I think for me, you know, the focus just became, what can I control? I don't have say. I don't know what's going to happen with this winter. I don't know when I'll have access to things again. I don't know what returning to Lake Placid's going to look like. We didn't have a plan for what we're doing now until mid-September. So, yeah. You know, it was just, okay, what can I do today to put myself in a position whenever this opens up to go after it and be where I want to be?
This, you know, it's interesting. Four words, what can I control? Wait, did it? Yeah, it's four. But how, yeah. How powerful when you think about it. I mean, I look back and I think, gosh, I wish I would have had a little more of that, say, in April when I was, you know, pulling my hair out. And,
yeah.
You know, but that is such a great way to look at it, no matter what the day is, whether, you know, you're an athlete and you're dealing with an injury, or you're a homeschooling mom trying to balance work or whatever. What can I control? And usually they're very small things.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think, I mean, I was just having this conversation the other day, you know, I think when this all started, everyone was like, okay, lockdown 2 weeks, we can do this.
Well, it's okay, kind of like two a vacation. It was like a little right, totally. Respite, right?
Yeah. And everyone was like, okay, I can manage this for a month, you know, 6 weeks. And then you started to see people get restless. And the reality is, like, we don't really know. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not a doctor. You know, I don't. And even those people aren't really sure. This is kind of unprecedented. And so, like, the conversation I was having the other day is, can we even plan for next summer at this point? Like, or, you know, is, you know, so you can make plans. But at the end of the day, I think it's just showed us how little say we all have sometimes.
Right. So, you guys work with a lot of sports psychologists. What did they teach you about that concept of what can I control? What things tend to work?
Yeah. Ooh, that's a long history. I think my sports psychs are the only thing things that have really gotten me through some of the moments of my career. So for me, yeah, what can I control? And just accountability for your piece of it, you know? Like I can spend time getting worked up that the truck didn't run, or I got back up to the top for my second run late, or, you know, I can be flustered by that. But at the end of the day, I still have to race when my name's called. And the fact that I had less time than other people is irrelevant, because I have to do that run, you know? And then you hope if something's really bad, the officials call the race off or redo the heat or make it fair. But even if they don't, I have no say in that. I can only do what I can do. So
yeah. And even in your little quarantine compound there in room 139, yeah. How did you answer that question? What can I control?
Yeah, I think, and I learned a lot of this from this quarantine period. For me, it was really important to keep a schedule, to kind of, you know, give myself guidelines, and not that it's always going to go according to schedule. Like, for instance, they were late getting around to our testing today because stuff happened in sports med. So even things like that, even when the schedule doesn't work, it's nice for me to have an outline of, I want to do this and I have to get to my outside time, and that's valuable. And again, just kind of focusing on, yeah, what I can do. I have a to-do list of things I want to get around to and get done while I'm in here. So it's all kind of keeping me sane. Maybe yeah. Talk to me on day 10. It might not be as optimistic.
Well, you'll notice I scheduled this pretty early in the whole thing.
Yeah. You're like, let's talk now.
Yeah. Let's talk while you're fresh and shiny. But that's such a great point, because all the life, whether it's the last 7 months or it's you looking ahead to your next year and a half with Olympics, a lot of things are going to be out of control, things that you never would have put on that to-do list before. So deciding that the only thing you can really control is how you react to things is a really powerful but very difficult thing to do.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely, it's easier said than done some days, and getting dragged out of it happens a lot. And then it's about being honest with yourself and being like, oh, yep, I got caught up in that. How do I get back?
So. Speaking of being honest with yourself, I think a lot of us in the last few months have had a lot of time for self-reflection you know, decide, like, am I really doing life the way I want to be doing it? Working where I want to work? Am I living where I want to live? Am I whatever? Are Olympians going through a lot of that as well? Because that time between games obviously is that time where, like you said, you had to really ask yourself, do I want to be doing this again because of the sacrifice and the trajectory it'll take me? Do you think people are Olympic athletes doing that more than they normally would have been doing?
Yeah, I'm sure a bit. And I think people have really had to come to terms with their careers and what place that holds in their life. In the conversations I've had with athletes, I mean, you saw when Tokyo was canceled, a couple people retired. You know, they were like, at a certain point, I don't want to be in this massive uncontrollable. And either, you know, you're kind of getting older and aging out, or you're dealing with injuries that you've been putting off, or whatever the situation is. A couple athletes, you saw a whole group of them be like, you know, I think it's time for me to call it. I'm just going to walk away and be okay with it. And even athletes that didn't end up walking away, I think there was a lot of conversation and just self-reflection on what your career means to you and why you're doing what you're doing, and does it make you happy, and what are you sacrificing, and are you okay with that? So yeah, I'm sure it was probably similar for everybody, but athletes
and probably
are definitely
the financial part of it, I would think, for a lot of people too, especially the summer athletes who maybe they already had kind of tentatively scheduled, this is it, and then I'm moving on to, you know, whatever, you know, the next phase of life is going to be.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I have a college degree. I want to get into sports operations stuff after I do this. And you are putting that on hold. You know, that's the reality of it is, I would love to get experience, but I leave every October and I don't come back until April. And, you know, that's not fair to necessarily, you know, you can find little roles and you can find ways to get experience or intern or whatever, but in the large scheme of things, it's not like any of that is on my resume because I've been doing this. So, it's all a balance. What are you willing to do?
Right. Well, I would say you're probably picking up some new skills, having to do things, even like a 14-day quarantine could be an amazing way to pick up some different skills, if you think about it.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it's not like being an athlete is not handling a ton of other things. And there's skills that translate for sure. But there is a piece of it where it's like a steady income, a 401k, paid time off, those kinds of things don't
exist. All that boring adult stuff.
Yeah. And I know there's time to get to it whenever. So that's the decision I've made, but there definitely were people who were like, you know, I do want that. So, and a little more stability there is, for as much unknown as there always is. That's a lot more predictable than potentially, you know, having an injury that ends your season in an Olympic year. So,
especially now. Do you think, will this year put sports in the Olympics behind a year in terms of the development of athletes?
Yeah, I'm really interested to see that.
Should be really interesting to see this.
It will. Just because getting development camps in is really tough to do. It's really tough to even just get your core top team in at this point. And so bringing along kind of that next generation of training is going to be interesting to watch. And I mentioned, like, initially, you know, there's so much like, oof, just hurting for the summer athletes. But now it's like, you're really starting to get into, we were supposed to have athletes go to China to homologate the track in Beijing a month ago.
Which is when the next Olympics will be, 2022.
Correct. Yeah. And that didn't happen. And then we're supposed to go there at the end of March for the test event, which, you know, you need those runs going into an Olympic Games. And so you're starting to see like a massive pushback in kind of everyone's scheduling. So it'll be interesting in these next kind of 6 months to see how that all shakes out on development and scheduling.
Assuming you get out of that room, of course.
Yeah. I just took my second COVID test today, so we'll see how that goes. That's step one.
Hopefully that'll go, you know, just fine. You know, one of the other changes that I noticed on social this year is you made a decision at some point to be a little bit more open about your personal life. How'd you come up with that decision, and what was the reaction you got from fellow athletes?
Yeah, it's something I've never really been closeted per se. I date guys and girls, so it's easy sometimes to just assume that I'm straight. So a couple people are like, oh, I guess I didn't know that. But last year I did some like a photo shoot for the Team USA Pride stuff, and I've never necessarily tried to hide it, but I just think there were a couple opportunities this summer and things that got me thinking, you know, to put it out there and just be honest about it. And hopefully, you know, my intent there is, I don't know, I have this whole theory about normalizing coming out and not needing to at some point. I hope as a society, we get to a point where it's like, that person's dating that person, that's fine. And no one needs to like make a huge announcement. But for the time being, I think if there, you know, were a handful of people who follow me who didn't know that, it was important to me to put it out there and let people know that they're not alone. And there's so much on the spectrum of sexuality that Yeah, hopefully one day we get to a point where it's normalized.
Well, I mean, look at the major changes that have happened in even like the last 5 years, 10 years of the Olympics. And at the last Olympics, Adam Rippon, Gus Kenworthy, I think that that took a huge steps toward normal, and to use your word, normalizing. So I do. I think it's really important. I think it's really important. And I commend you for doing it.
Totally.
And I'm sure you've heard from people who are like, oh, thanks. You know, it just kind of opens up a conversation maybe for other people.
Yeah, for sure. And those are the ones that, you know, that's the reason I kind of put it out there. And it wasn't like I had been putting pictures of my girlfriend and I up for a year probably at that point. So it wasn't like I had been not saying it, but I think it starts a conversation. And even for people who maybe aren't comfortable with it or don't really know much about, you know, the spectrum of sexuality or any of that, it's definitely beneficial to have those conversations. And I feel like I'm in a point where I'm happy to have them and I'm comfortable having them. So take the opportunity to do that.
What are the next goals then? What are your next goals for the next year?
Step one is get out of here.
Get out of room 139.
Yeah, out of room 139. I want to move back to the normal population hallway. I want to get on ice. And then we have team trials. So got to race the four U.S. It's just the U.S. team is staying domestic for this season. So we'll have two races here and hopefully two races in Park City just against the U.S. team. So taking one of the top three spots in that is the next goal. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully we'll get to race the second half of the season in Europe. So we'll go over to Europe end of December and race those three World Cups, World Championships. And then hopefully, super fingers crossed on that one, is Beijing Testament.
Yeah.
So those would kind of be like the short-term stuff. And then just overall building into an Olympic season, having myself as ready and as healthy and as adaptable basically as I can be going into next October. That's kind of the long-term build. And then, yeah, medals and podiums and whatever else I can work out there.
So what do Olympic organizers tell you guys to, you know, plan like everything's on track? I mean, what do you do? I mean, I know like where I work, we still are working in funky ways. Some of us are home. Everything is just different. But we just assume that everything will continue happening. We're just going to be doing it differently. Do you guys do the same thing?
Yeah. And I think that's all you kind of can do is stay ready and be willing to roll with it as things change. I think that's most of the feedback our coaches have given us is just like they're trying to give us as best of a plan as they can. And every time they do that, they're saying, but understand that this might change. Mm-hmm. Be, you know, try and be adaptable, try and work with us. Know that we're trying to get it as concise and, you know, stick to it as best we can. But things are going to change and it's going to be ever evolving. So.
What's something that in your sport and in the life that comes with your sport you took for granted or used to get irritated by that you can't wait to experience again?
That's a great question. Maybe travel.
Yeah.
I did the math. I think I was taking like 40 some odd segments of flights a summer, and I took a total of 6 this summer, and that includes like getting home and then getting back up here.
Yeah, it was like so, 5 more than me.
yeah, I know. And because I had to go back across the country. But I think there's all those little nuances, right? Like, probably travel.
Yeah.
But being cold, being on the track, sliding day in and day out, those things.
Do you think, will you be a different athlete because of the experience of this year? And do you think most athletes will be?
I think everyone will have to have learned to be adaptable. I think it's going to come down to who can keep that mentality, who's, you know, learning things for the long haul versus just trying to get through it. So hopefully I'm the first one of those options, just, you know, consistently being adaptable in sport and in life and in travel, you know, layovers gone wrong or not catching flights, those kind of little things that throw you off sometimes.
I love that phrase, learning things for the long haul.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a difference in just like figuring out to get through it, which is I think probably what most of us were doing at the beginning of this quarantine. You know, you're trying to just okay, I can endure this for 6 weeks or whatever the number is. But when it actually becomes a principle and you're actually living it and you've truly learned it, I think that's when things become actually helpful.
And that's when you can control what you can control.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's when you genuinely live like that instead of just trying to get through.
Some people, sometimes I'll hear them say, use something along those lines, like, it is what it is, and which always sounds like a give up line to me. And I like the way you look at it a little bit better because there's more control in it. So like personal control.
Yeah. And it's funny because I do use my girlfriend gets on me sometimes because I'm like, I don't know. It just is what it is. We're just going with it. Like, you know, and it is sometimes that's the explanation that comes out. But the reality of it is, okay, this is the situation I'm given. What can I do in it that puts me in the best spot?
Yeah. Stop trying to change things that you can't and just figure out how to make it work in some way.
Totally. Totally.
So
and
what
ideal situation is making it fun.
Yes. You know,
best case scenario is finding the silly parts of it. And I'm trying to do that a bit in, you know, documenting these 14 days. And yeah, that's all you can do.
Well, it's endlessly entertaining. I can tell you, you have.
I'm so glad.
I love it. I love it. I mean, you have completely like redone the room where you are kind of locked up and you're making it work for yourself.
Yeah. Way better vibes in here now with the beds all turned.
It'll make the worst hotel room someday in the future seem okay.
Yeah, this is actually a skill we learned on tour because we share a room. So I've shared a room with the same teammate for like whatever the whole season is essentially. And so every time we get in a room, we end up like trying to make two rooms out of it. So I think that's probably where what I was inspired by. But yeah, it worked out.
That's so funny. My Olympic partner, Dami, who you've met many times, he does the same thing. Like the second he moves into whether it's the media village or a hotel room, you know, I usually help him bring the gear up and he instantly starts moving beds and tables to create more space and a work area. I'm like, can you ever just leave it the way that the hotel people wanted it to be?
You got to optimize it. You got to make it.
That's what he says. He's like, I got to optimize it. I got to make it work for me. It's always, I always think like, oh, those poor housekeepers. They must just think he's, you know, trashing it.
Yeah. I love that. He'd be great in quarantine then.
He's got stuff figured out. He'd be a hoot to quarantine with, no doubt. Yeah. You'd eat well too, because he's a pretty good cook. So looking ahead here for the next couple of months, what would be something you would challenge people maybe to try in terms like of having an Olympic mindset? Like what's one thing we could all do today that maybe might make getting through this a little bit easier?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think, you know, if you short term is kind of what we've been talking about and what can I control right now? One of the things you asked what my sports psych have helped me with, some days when you're really struggling and it's hard to be in that moment and not be overwhelmed by all the things that are going wrong, it's my question to myself usually is, what do I want it to feel like at the bottom of that run? Or what do I want the result of this to be? And sometimes that close perspective is helpful, but sometimes just big picture, like, what do I want to take out of this? What's important to me? How do I keep my focus there is usually helpful if you can't, if the day-to-day feels like too much or overwhelming or just messed up.
Yeah. Well, just messed up is a good way to describe this year. That's for sure. What's a good way for people to keep up with your adventures? Yeah. They're in room 139 and hopefully on the track soon.
Yeah. I'll be in 130. I'll be 139 for the next week or so. I don't know numbers anymore, but somewhere around there. But Kendall Lorraine, I'm at Kendall Lorraine on Instagram, is my main source of social, but also on Twitter. And then I have a Facebook page, Kendall Wessenberg USA, if you want to follow that as well.
And the skeleton crew behind the scenes is pretty entertaining, if I do say so myself.
Yeah.
You guys are really
We try and keep it fun. Yeah. We spend a lot of time together, so you're getting the good stuff.
Yeah, except now. Now you're just
Except now it's just me, so we'll see how funny I am on my own.
Well, Kendall, thanks. It was really great catching up with you.
Yeah, great to see you.
Nice to see you, too. Good luck.
Thank you.
A favor, can you take a second right now and screen grab the show, share it with your friends on social, let them know what you got out of this episode, and don't forget to leave a rating or review for the show on Apple iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for listening, and don't forget, you can always DM me on Instagram at RunReadSip if you have a guest suggestion.